Welcome to That 590 Show. I am your host, Matt Berger. 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Tuesday afternoon. Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590 Show, at Matt underscore Berger, at Rock 590, and at John Rudolph 22. Joining us at 640 will be Jeff Gordon, columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. At 7 o'clock, Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. And then at 7:30, columnist for the LA Daily News, Vinny Bonsignor. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. We played View to a Kill there as the opener, which is by Duran Duran, and also the name of a James Bond movie starring Roger Moore. Roger Moore passed away today at the age of 89, losing a short bout to cancer. Today also marks the four-year anniversary of the death of one of my best friends, Andy Loggeman, also to cancer. Cancer does not care. Cancer does not give a bleep. They don't care what your plans are for the future. They don't care what you've done. You can beat it. Many people have. I have relatives that have beaten it. And I have relatives that have lost to it. Cancer just doesn't care. Does not give a bleep. Once it comes in, your life has changed, whether you like it or not. I broke one of my rules today, Giamatti. One of my rules is that if it's someone that you don't follow or doesn't follow you and has under 100 followers on Twitter, do not get into an argument with that person.
That's a great point.
Because this person has less than 100 people interested in what they have to say.
They have an egg as a profile picture as well?
No, I forgot what it was. I think it was like the picture of a bar. And anyway, so Barstool Sports, they must have had an interview with Monica Lewinsky, the world's most famous, you know what she did.
Yes.
And she said that Fox News ruined her life. And I replied to it that she's not exactly wrong. What a lot of people don't know, and Giamatti, you're probably too young to remember, that when Fox News came on in the 90s, Fox News was a distant third to MSNBC and CNN. Distant third. And they almost didn't survive the 90s. Like, that network almost didn't make it out of that decade. Now, what happened was is that there was news going around that Bill Clinton was having an affair with an intern. Most major news outlets kind of ignored it. Fox News did not. Fox News chomped down on that news story and didn't let go.
Let's be clear. For the first few years there, Fox News was not Fox News. It was not Roger Ailes. It wasn't their big company now. It was the legitimate version of the Drudge Report.
Pretty much.
You saw it on Drudge, and then a day later or the next morning, if it came out at like 6 p.m. that night, the next morning, they were confirming whatever Matt Drudge was putting out on Drudge Report. And that's where Lewinsky hit first, was Drudge Report.
Was the Drudge Report. You're right.
And again, Drudge Report now is legitimate. Everyone recognizes when they hit something, they're correct. But back in 1999, 2000,
well, Matt
when
Drudge,
the internet was real.
Matt Drudge had a show on Fox News, and it was a weird-looking show, too. It was kind of like film noir.
And so
people, like, it was filmed in black and white, and he wore like a fedora. He looked like a 1950s either gumshoe or reporter. Like, all that was missing, like, the word, like a press pass that he had in the band of his...
ticket or something.
Yeah, that's all that it was missing. It was a really weird show.
And since it was 98, people were immediately skeptical of anything that came up
big
on
time.
The internet. So Drudge Report was literally just someplace that people saw where they were like, okay. And again, Fox News legitimized almost everything he put out there. So the Drudge Report had it and no one touched it.
Nobody did.
And then Fox News, doing what they obviously did because it was Matt Drudge, jumped on it and ran with it.
And it turned out the story was correct. And Fox News morphed into basically what you see today. And I said that, you know, Monica Lewinsky's not wrong in saying that Fox News ruined her life. And so this guy with like 68 followers was coming back at me saying, are you saying what she did was right? And I'm like, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not excusing what Monica Lewinsky did in the slightest. What I'm saying is that she's not wrong. If Fox News had completely ignored what Matt Drudge was writing, we never would have known. I'm not saying that what Fox News did was wrong. I'm just saying they did what they did, and it did ruin her life.
For sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I explained it to this guy, I don't know how many different times, that I was not blaming Fox News, and I did not think Monica Lewinsky was innocent. I think I said it like three times. The last time I finally wrote it in all caps, and it still wasn't sinking in. And that's when I'm like, this is where I say goodnight.
What was his argument?
He basically goes, well, you know, if Monica Lewinsky wasn't, you know, this immoral person, I'm like, I'm not excusing what she did. I'm not excusing it at all. I'm just saying that she wasn't wrong in saying that Fox News ruined her life. It's all I said.
How old is she now?
Oh, Monica Lewinsky, she's got to be...
She's in her late 30s, I think.
Oh, no, she's older than that. I'm 40...
I meant to say mid-40s.
Yeah, she may not even be that old. Maybe like mid-40s, like 44.
Maybe like 21 at the time.
Because if she was an intern, that means she wasn't a whole lot older.
What? She has the same birthday as me? Ha! I never knew that.
So how old is she?
She is 43.
43. Okay, that seems about right.
How did I never
know? Because if she was a White House intern when I was in college, that's usually about right around the same age.
How did I never know Monica Lewinsky had the same birthday?
Well, where are you going to get her? A blue dress, a cigar?
No, but punchlines.
Come on. Come on, let me have it, Giamatti.
To him, Giamatti. He hit it perfectly.
Thank you.
I was hoping for the cymbal crash on that one. Yeah, 43. How about that? I noticed you were talking about Roger Moore a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Hulu just dropped a documentary about George Lazenby, who only did one Bond movie in Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Okay.
And then jumped. And I don't know why, but the fact that Roger Moore just passed away... I've been looking at it. Now I think I might have to sit down and watch it because the funny thing is, if you're an Entourage fan, you know that George Lazenby gets a mention in a very obscure way. In that
when Vinny's Aquaman once and then quits after that.
Not that. When E's starting his own firm. And the guy talks about how he represented George Lazenby, how he was the best Bond, the baddest Bond, but he told a studio exec to go F himself and he was Bond no more. So random tie-ins off Roger Moore and Entourage and HBO shows like The Wire. I think I have to watch that HBO documentary or Hulu documentary now.
There you go.
I think it's just things run together and I got to watch it. So now Monica Lewinsky, Roger Moore, George Lazenby. Let's talk about some sports.
Rice City Lemmy texting in. That's as bad as arguing with dog profile pick person. Always a waste of time. And he's right about that one,
also,
too.
Also, right alongside arguing with the wife or the husband, you're not really sure because they share a Facebook account.
Yeah.
Don't argue with that one.
Anytime
either,
you see that,
because you never know who it is. You never know which person on the account.
You're right.
First
Such
of
a
all.
Great point.
But every time
you never
I
know.
But every time I see that, I want to say, okay, who cheated?
Yes.
Why do you have the joint Facebook profile? Who don't you trust?
See, I don't.
Who's got too many exes in their past that are on Facebook?
I've never thought about it like that because I always saw it as what couple's way too into themselves and therefore doesn't have a sense of themselves as a separate person, or two, which one of them is so computer stupid
yeah.
they couldn't figure out a
That's probably what it is
Facebook
more than anything
profile.
Else.
Especially, I think like people like who are like 50s and 60s, one of them's too dumb to figure out a Facebook profile. You see it when you're in your 30s. Now I'm thinking cheating. If you see somebody doing it in their 20s, they're obsessed with themselves. They're obsessed with each other in an odd way, and they will definitely be getting divorced.
I can't say I've seen too many of those.
I've usually seen them in their
50s.
I knew a couple who started doing it in high school, and I was like,
in high school?
Yes, and they literally had it the exact same way until they were college. They broke up in a fantastically obvious way.
Ridiculous.
Because they both had the password to the same Facebook account.
Oh, my God.
And so they were both posting statuses about how crappy the other person was.
That's outstanding.
Made for great spectator sport.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Matt. Good evening, everybody else. How are we doing this evening?
Good. How about yourself? What's on your mind?
Pretty good. A couple of things real quick, Matt. I'm sorry about hearing the passing of family members and friends from cancer. I lost two brother-in-laws to melanoma within 6 months, so I feel your pain there.
Thank you.
Also, too, let's get back on the brighter side, except for one other moment. Roger Moore was my favorite James Bond. I thought that he brought enough humor, enough levity, and yet could be kind of serious, still poke fun at himself. I thought he was the best. Sean Connery, a close second, Pierce Brosnan, third, and then Daniel Craig, fourth.
Daniel Craig is my favorite James Bond.
Yeah, I don't know how you put Craig below Brosnan. Brosnan was too pretty boy for me. You couldn't believe it when he kicked up. When Brosnan beat up 15 people and walked away from it, it was too unbelievable.
to each his own. I grew up with a lot of those, especially Connery.
Yeah, Connery's perfect.
And, Connery's perfect, and I thought Roger Moore was great, too. I want to talk a little Cardinal baseball for a minute. You know, Matt, I'm probably the Cardinals' biggest critic, and maybe some of my points go the wrong way, but can we have somebody show Matt Carpenter a video maybe from minor league, or I should say Sandlot baseball, you know, one of those early instructional videos on how to run the bases, how to look for a coach, how to use judgment. This guy comes across to me as just a one-dimensional player, hitter only. Personally, my opinion is I wouldn't mind shipping him to the American League because I think he's nothing basically but a glorified designated hitter. He's not that very – come on, guys. He's not that very good defensively.
He's not.
He can't run the bases worth a lick. I give you one credit. He can hit, but he doesn't show me that much defensively. I mean, you've moved him to first base, and he still has problems there. I'm going to hang up, listen to your comments. Great show as always, and thanks for getting me on early and give Vinny my best. I love hearing him, but I won't be able to hear him tonight. Thanks,
well,
guys.
You're welcome, Jim. You can always podcast like the Dickens, as the kids say, at InsideSTL.com. So if you're going to miss Vinny, you can podcast later this evening, and you can listen to it in its entirety. Jim, you must have missed the show last night because I suggested to solve Matt Carpenter's poor base running as well as the rest of the Cardinals that instead of the Cardinal Cowboy, they need to hire a rodeo cowboy who's going to be on the sidelines on a horse, and then whenever Matt Carpenter is trying to stretch that double into a triple when he shouldn't be, the rodeo cowboy goes out there with his lasso and then lassos Matt Carpenter and drags him back to second base. That is my suggestion to make it a little bit better.
I got this one. Every time Matt Carpenter screws up a base running error, in the next game, you start him at a different position.
you screw the, and depending how bad it was, like the one on Saturday was bad.
Yeah, he's
that playing, was bad. Yeah, so now, guess what? Tomorrow,
right,
you're
field.
Catcher.
He's playing
you're,
right
No,
field.
You're catcher. Get the gear back on. And
I want to punish Matt, not the Cardinals as a whole.
Well, I mean, I think we may end up punishing him no matter where we put him. But as far as him being a glorified DH, I don't know if I agree with that assessment at all. He's not very good defensively, but I don't think he's porous defensively. He's not even close to being the Cardinals' worst defender, I don't think. And
depends on the place you put him at, because right now he's showing, from what we saw last year, he's a poor third baseman. From what we're seeing this year, he's not a very good first baseman. And so far, what I'm seeing is that Matt Carpenter is an average or above average defender at second base and the corner outfield.
Okay, well,
it.
You think about it, Matt Carpenter, they got him bouncing around all over the infield. How can you master any position when
it changes?
He played
third base for two seasons, and he was no better game one than he was game whatever it would have been, 212 that he played.
I'm trying to remember who said this. I want to make sure I credit the right person. It might have been Ben Fred who said this, maybe Derek Gould, that the Cardinals, they have nothing but a bunch of second basemen playing every position in the infield.
Yep.
Jed Jerko's as a good second baseman, we have him at third. Elimas Diaz is a better second baseman, we have him at short.
I think he could play third, though.
He probably could, too. But, yeah, I mean, I've said it for a long time.
Yeah, Paul Wong was on this team, I think.
I'm not going to pound the table saying they need to trade Matt Carpenter, but depending on who they could get, if Matt Carpenter's part of the package, depending on what the trade is, I'm not objecting to it.
It would just be interesting to see what would happen if they were able to cut, if they were able to trade Colton Wong, or if he went on a run, what could they do there? Because Colton Wong's another guy who, unlike Carpenter, who can play other spots, he's just not going to be that good. I don't know if Colton Wong could be passable or playable in any other spot but second base. I mean, I guess he wasn't terrible. I guess they played him in only center field last year. They played him in left field once.
He played a little outfield, I believe, when he was in college at Hawaii.
Yeah, but he was a joke in center field last year. Remember when he got turned around and looked like an absolute
goof? Yeah, I mean, because he probably hasn't played it in
years. No, but I'm just wondering I was trying to remember if he played left field last year and if he looked bad or not.
Well, he injured himself in left field.
Yeah, that's true. My only point being that if Colton Wong wasn't on this team, they would have figured out a way that Matt Carpenter was playing second base full time and they'd get a new first baseman. So
the Cardinals,
that's the thing that's holding back. When it comes to defensively in the infield, the fact that Colton Wong, who at the same time is a good defender, so I guess you wouldn't really be losing or gaining that
the
much.
Cardinals honestly really haven't solved first base since Albert Pujols left in 2012.
No.
It's been 5 years. They really haven't solved first base.
Yeah, they've gotten really lucky.
They tried Matt Adams. He didn't work out. They ended up trading him to Atlanta. You have Matt Carpenter, as you said, that he's not exactly fantastic with the leather.
It's not even about replacing first base necessarily. Because I just don't as poor as Matt Carpenter has been at defense at times, first base this year, it hasn't hamstrung the team that much overall. Not especially when you compare it to how bad he held them back when he played third base. It's that the big thing with the Pujols and not replacing first base is that they've never replaced a first base style hitter. Every single year since Pujols left, they have replaced Pujols with above average hitting by either a collection of players or by a number of players when with runners on scoring position, as we saw in 2013. They've gotten by by jerry-rigging these odd ways of offense, whether it be a ridiculous home run year, a ridiculous year with runners in scoring position average, a year when everyone's getting everyone's just pitching in here and there. Their offense has never been good, but they've been able to make it by, you know, having these record-breaking seasons or just putting together, 15 guys throughout the year who hit okay. They've never, even with Matt Holliday, they never had that guy that you could put in a three or four spot and be okay with it.
Let's say that you had no idea about the Cardinals, but you knew a little bit about something about baseball, and you saw Matt Carpenter, and you had to guess what position he played. There's no way you would have thought he was a first baseman.
Well,
Adams, when you looked at Matt Adams was straight out of Central Casting for a first baseman.
I guess
this big, huge target at first base. You usually don't see that many first basemen that slim.
If you looked at Carpenter's slugging percentage and his strikeout rate over the last 3 years, I think if you just looked at those two numbers, you'd think first baseman. Because he's hit home runs and he's slugging.
I'm just talking about looking at as far as the size goes.
No, that's true.
You want a big target at first base.
But I'm saying that doesn't matter. Your big target doesn't matter if he hits like a big target. I don't care about the actual. Is he one of the tallest
guys? Defensively,
does he have a good reach? I think that's minute when it comes. I know ever since we're in kindergarten, the tallest kid plays first base in Little League baseball. I really don't think the fact that
they made you play first base, didn't they? How tall are you?
I was never the tallest kid. I didn't hit a growth spurt until like junior year in high school.
I went
from being like 5'10 junior in high school to 6 or like 5'8 junior in high school to being 6'1 6 months later. It confused everyone. But yeah, I don't think it's that big of a difference. You talk about Matt Carpenter being 6'1 and Matt Adams being 6'2. Come on. That's not the difference there. Matt Carpenter hits like a first baseman, or at least he has over the last 3 years, to a point.
I don't think Matt Carpenter's untouchable, though. I don't think the Cardinals really have that many players that I would consider untouchable when it comes to trading.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Like, who would you consider untouchable at this point?
Well, Martinez.
Carlos Martinez.
Reyes.
Alex Reyes. Diaz. I wouldn't trade Diaz. You're more than
Piscotty
likely.
I'm probably not touching Piscotty and Grichik.
You can trade Grichik. You're probably not going to touch Piscotty because he signed that contract. Same thing with Fowler. You're not going to get rid of Fowler because he signed that contract. And same thing with Yachty as well.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess. That's
but, I'm telling you, like, you know, if getting the player you really desired, and the difference is Matt Carpenter, and this is a player that you think is a cornerstone player, a young cornerstone player that you can build around for years, why wouldn't you trade Matt Carpenter? For the first time this evening, let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
Cardinals and the Dodgers get underway tonight for a three-game series. Game one, Lance Lynn taking on Clayton Kershaw. First pitch is set for 9 p.m. Lynn, 4-2 record, takes on Kershaw, 7-2 on the season. In 9 starts, he has a decision in every single start. The lineup that Kershaw will be facing tonight, Fowler leading off and playing center field. Piscotty batting second and playing right. Carpenter in his usual spots batting third, playing first base. Jurco is in the cleanup spot, but he's playing second today. Molina usually 5 and playing catcher. Peralta in the lineup today playing third base and batting sixth ahead of Ledmys Diaz batting seventh and playing shortstop. And Randall Grichik batting eighth and playing left field. Of course, pitcher spot rounds it all out with the ninth spot there. Tyler Lyons activated from the disabled list. Sam Tuivalala was optioned down to Triple A Memphis. Later on tonight, you will see game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. No one's going for a clinch, surprisingly enough. The Cavaliers leading that series 2-1 over the Boston Celtics, and the Penguins and the Senators get their Eastern Conference series back underway. The Penguins trying to punch their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final tonight. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, then when we come back, we got such a loaded show. Let's talk a little bit about that game tonight and what the Warriors did last night when they finished a sweep of the San Antonio Spurs. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.